Lord, I'll invite and have Sineshim vine truck kite shre. Mushele traun a down the train, the barn a gnock, sunem again. Shemolech mohiele mar, shemohezer gile mar. Swan a sheni put a sven, och weg again mohiele mar. Ni lauren quach goswerk er noin, is nil go gairing lount if kyo, o madin hauriging lount if kyog, o demig weng an buach el bio. Shemalech mahin amar, shemahezar gilamar, swan na sheni puris fein, och wag again, my gillemar. Scheint der star chlar shekol, his leant der cart aboard their board. Le hinten gan koim, gan kyo, gan gruim, chon sail is slant a doggle and lone. Shemalech mahiele mar, shemahezer gile mar. Swan na sheni puris fein, o luag again mahiele mar. Gile mar se shal fwy chu, is er galer fwy chlokif du. Swan na shen, ni pwyr ysfen, o luag again ma yel amar. Shem olech ma yel amar, shem a hezer gil amar. Swan na shen, ni pwyr ysfen, o luag again ma yel amar.
With the Dalton's, and we were going down after my father, and we were just coming up, and Jim was about 14 or 15 maybe, and Cumrock O'Lady made a song when we were called the Borough that time, and Lisdoor were called the Glown. So to the match that was played that long 1946, the Borough and the Glown is called. The burning question of the day when we got into town. Can anybody tell me will the borough beat the Glown? The bets were on, the match began, excitement gripped us all. And the earth beneath us trembled when the ref threw in the ball. So let us sing now all together. Fill your glasses up with porter, gin and wine. Oh, let it be fine or stormy weather. Up the borough every time. Right from the start the Glown attacked, but we looked on Siree, till a punch by Fitz between our sticks set up the flag of green. Another pint soon after that, our faces turned pale, and the Glown men on the sidelines said, the borough boys will fail. So let us sing now all together. Fill your glasses up with porter, gin and wine. Oh, let it be fine or stormy weather. Up the borough every time. The ball in play, they break away, the Glown again attack. But the storm was safely withered by our goalie and full back. Each time they tried to rush our lines, 'twas glorious to behold. Their style and dash outwitted by our stalwarts from Glen Road. So let us sing now all together. Fill your glasses up with porter, gin and wine. Oh, let it be fine or stormy weather. up the borough, up the borough every time. From that until the ending, the game became a rout. The borough led at halftime by 6 points or thereabout. The Brostons and the Ganeys, the O'Connorses and Culhan, swung the balance of exchanges round in favour of my van. So let us sing now all together. Fill your glasses up with porter, gin and wine. Oh, let it be fine or stormy weather. Up the borough, up the borough every time. We hear much talk of small shanty, McCartan and McKeown. They did their bit to set us free and have us stand alone. But here's to the brave George Carmody, a man among great men, who's opening gold and more than all to give the boys a win. So let us sing now all together. Fill your glasses up with porter, gin and wine. Oh, let it be fine or stormy weather. Up the borough every time. A verse now for Jim Brosnan, the hero of the game. A worthy son of great Conneen of Six All Ireland fame. Although in stature he's small, he's sure to win renowned. His brilliant goal was cheered by all when Newtown beat Listowel. So let us sing now all together. Fill your glasses up with porter, gin and wine. Oh, let it be fine or stormy weather. Up the borough every time.
You may sing and speak about Easter week and the heroes of 98, of Fenian men who roam the glen in victory or defeat. Their names in history's pages told, their memory will endure. Not a song we've sung of our darling sons in the valley of Knockanore. There was Welsh and Lyons and Dalton boys, they were young and in their prime. They wandered to a lonely glen where the black and tans did hide. The Republic bold they did uphold, though outlawed on the moor, and side by side they fought and died in the valley of Knockanore. In Gorth, the Glanagh's lovely glen, three gallant men took shade, while in young wheat, full soft and sweet, the summer's breezes played. But it was not long till Lyons came on, saying, "Time is not mine or yours." And alas, 'twas late when they met their fate in the valley of Knockanore. The summer sun is sinking now behind the field and glee. The pale, pale moon is rising far, far out beyond Tralee. The dismal stars and clouds afar are darkening o'er the moor. And the banshee cried when our heroes died in the valley of Knockanore.
Well, now, Hugh O'Flaherty, Jim Brosnan, I suppose, a Kerry legend, really.
He was, really. I suppose he really blazed like a great meteorite across the sky. in the 1955 All-Ireland against Dublin. Kerry were, I would say, struggling at up to half-time, and then out he, second half started, and he fired over 2 points in quick succession. He appeared to be going for goal on each occasion, to have the goal at the mercy. But I think under instructions probably from Dr. Eamon O'Sullivan, he took his points, to be sure. And once those points went over, I think the game was in the bag then.
A remarkable footballer, of course, with a great history from the family.
That's true. The father had been a great midfielder with Bob Stack, I think, wasn't it? Bob Stack, yeah. And Con Brosnan. So they were part of the legendary background. But Jim and his brother Mick were legends in their own way. They were great, great, full-spirited footballers, but very scrupulously fair, but tough.
And, of course, he served Kerry well then when he was chairman of the county board. Hugh, how important is it, we're here to the ending now, to recognise men like this before they die?
I think it's a great idea. I suppose it's hard to understand why, having been such a good administrator with the Kerry County Board, he didn't become the first Kerryman to be president of the GA. It fell to Sean Kelly to have that distinction, which, in fairness to him, he performed with great distinction. But I think even before Sean Kelly, Jim Brosnan would have made a wonderful president of the GA. And I think that was the GA's loss, the association's loss.
Hugh, always nice talking to you.
Good to see you so fresh and well, Wishy.
Now, I'm delighted to meet Michael Crowe, the man who organised the fundraising for Kerry when we went around the world in 1970. And we're here in the Skellig today commemorating that trip and honouring Jim Brosnan. Michael Crowe, you're very welcome to Kerry, and you must have great memories of Jim Brosnan.
Jim Brosnan was one of the finest people I ever met in my life. That man, one Sunday morning, I was coming out of Mass, and I telephoned and I said, "Dr. Jim Brosnan, my name is Mick Crowe. Means nothing to you, but I see where Kerry's tour is in jeopardy." I said, "I can fix that for you. Come down this evening," he said to me, "Austin Stacks, 8 o'clock, and we'll meet." And down I went, and I met inside. I was only in there a few moments, and this voice came from the corner. It said, "We meet people like you every day, and you're out selling shiny pots and pans. And when we wake up in the morning, the backside has gone out of them." And I looked at him, and I said, "Eugene, is it you? You stayed in my Tigoshta in Limerick, and I could never find you when it was time to pay the bill. But I owed it to you. You didn't owe it to me." And that was a great character. And as time went on below that night, one to another, and that, he asked me a question, Brosnan. He says, "Can you do it?" I said, "Dr. Jim, I'll do it for you."
Mick, what did you do? You organised a bingo to raise funds for Kerry to travel around the world.
I had to get the thousands there, and I told him I'd do it. And I went up to all the newspapers in Dublin. I went into the Independent. They told me, "We can't do this." Well, I said, "I'm so disappointed, because the Irish press are doing it." "Well, if they're doing it, we're doing it." So we got a going in the Kerryman, and we raised the money. And when we came back from Australia, the money was still pouring in. It was a wonderful effort, because I knew the Kerry people and their love for the game and their love for everything else. It had to
Mick, explain to our listeners now about the bingo, because today, you know, I mean, that's gone out of vogue, if you like.
Yes.
What exactly did it entail?
They'd get a newspaper and they'd bring it to the hospitals or into some people who'd be inside, and there'd be 6 numbers, and you'd pick out the 6 numbers and you'd take those, and if they won, you'd go to the National Bank and you'd bring them in, and they were the bursars, they would pay. And this is what happened. We gave people who were in hospitals, who were incapacitated, we gave them a will to help Kerry to get to Australia.
And you travelled to Australia. What are your memories of that trip?
Oh, there are some memories, and Spanky O'Leary and all the characters that were there. And every time we got off the aircraft, no matter where it was, the flags were there, the banners were there, welcome. And then we went into Perth, and we were in Wagga Wagga. We were down in Sydney. We were everywhere, because they were asking us to go down. We'd sing the songs, we'd play the music, but above everything else, it was the GAA, it was Kerry. promoting soccer. Or sorry, GAA. And it was spectacular. We were out in every part of it. And the
how much did you raise, Mick, that time, through all that fundraising?
It was 20,000 or more.
That was a lot of money then.
Oh, it was fierce money. Fierce money. I didn't touch the money. Ty Crowley, God rest his soul.
Great man.
He was, oh yes, he was the man. He called the shots and everything was perfect with him there.
Yeah.
And when I got off the aircraft in Shannon Airport, I was going away and I was called over and Ty Crowley said, we kept the bingo going and there's last week's bingo. You oversubscribed.
Mick, listen, mate, it was great to meet you here. I didn't meet you since 1970, since we stepped out in Wagga Wagga. But listen to me, it was lovely to have you in Kerry, lovely to have you in Dingle for distributor Jim Brosnan. And listen to me, well done.
God bless you and thank you. And Dr. Jim Brosnan, if you're listening to it, you're still the greatest man I ever met in my life.
Seamus Connolly, you were after travelling all the way down from Cavan for this tribute to Jim Brosnan. Why did you travel so far and what does Jim Brosnan mean to you?
I had the privilege of playing with Jim Brosnan and when he came back from America, when he was playing with UCD, I just found him in an inspiring figure, a man of granite in more ways than one in his principles and in his physique. He was a wonderful, wonderful man and I got to know him and love him.
Why was he so wonderful? What had he?
He had a great. He had brilliant. He had brilliant ideas. He was passionate about them. You never met a more determined man, and his principles were rock solid.
Yeah. And you're here today, and there's a huge tribute being paid to him. What does it mean to remember old footballers?
Well, I think it should mean a lot more and it should happen a lot more often. And it's a bit, in a way, sad to see that it took until now for a tribute like this to be paid to Jim Brosnan, who must rank amongst Kerry's greatest.
Yeah. Mick Leeson, you're one of the men who was on the 1969 team that won the All-Ireland and then travelled to Australia. And we're here today honouring Jim Brosnan for the work that he put into the Australian trip. What are your memories of Jim Brosnan and of that year?
Obviously, as being a tremendous organiser and a man with a fierce commitment, I think, to players. And I think that's why so many people have gathered here today. It's not easy to gather players from many decades and many generations. It's interesting that Seamus is here. He would be near neighbour of where my wife is from in County Cavan, so that would be a story to carry home. He's from where the great PJ Duke came from, the Stradone, and I often visit that field. But I thought Jim Brosnan's commitment to players, there were many examples of that, but organising what was grandiosely called the World Tour in March 1970, I think, summed that up. There was so much involved in trying to organise that. There were difficulties at many levels that we won't go into now, some of them interpersonal clashes and everything. But he overcame all those because he had that fierce commitment, that fierce dedication. And I'm sure he must have been a wonderful doctor, because if he was committed to helping one, I think he would climb Mount Brandon 6 times to ensure that the end result was right.
And of course, Mick, the fact that he was the son of the legendary Con Brosnan, and then he became chairman of the Kerry County Board, and he started the county leagues in Kerry, with the result that your club spar in the All-Ireland final next Sunday. We'll be talking about that at a later date. All this wouldn't have resulted only for Jim Brosnan.
Yes, again, his organisational skills came to the fore, and the result is a perpetual reality in Kerry football. And I'm quite sure, and this is not a sour note, I'm quite sure if Jim Brosnan was still having an ongoing input into Kerry football, that the ordinary, the word that was mentioned inside at the meal there, the ordinary club players would be allowed to play far more games during the summertime when playing the game is far more appropriate, rather than having to wait until the All-Ireland is over. And that's a cause of, Jim wouldn't allow that to happen, because his commitment to the ordinary player would ensure that they were fully integrated and fully involved actively in playing the games.
And finally, Mick, what Jim Brosnan as a Kerry man, Jim Brosnan as he is, what did he mean to you, the name Jim Brosnan?
Well, anybody who's any interest in the GAA will know that the Brosnan name is synonymous with Irish history and with the GAA, and they are obviously closely interwoven and interlinked in Kerry. His father, Con Brosnan, going back to that era where the GAA was a soothing thing at troubled times. Jim inherited that. He brought it forward without rancour and without bitterness, just like his father played it. And that's a wonderful thing for the GAA, and that's why the GAA is such an enriching body in Irish society to this day.
Finally, Mick, how important is it to remember Jim Brosnan and to honour him before he dies?
It's important to remember Jim Brosnan because of what he did for the GAA, just like I think it's important to remember so many other people, some of them less well-known than Jim, who have given their life to enhancing the ideals of the GAA, and long may Jim prosper and enjoy reasonably good health. I wish him well.
I'm talking to Jim Brosnan's son, Conor. Conor, what was it like growing up to be the son of Jim Brosnan?
You were very, very, very well aware of how often he was out of the house between work and GAA matters. We were just very well, very clearly aware of the role of GAA in his life, and his father's and uncle and my uncle. You were aware of the comings and goings of the season and the football matches and the championship starting and everything. Trouble with tickets, of course, was you were very aware of that. That phone always going. Jim's views on various controversies. Obviously, we were there for that. Then, of course, you have people saying you aren't as good as your father, like, but we took that handy enough, no bother. Goes on with a lot of football families, I'm sure. But just Jim's interest in the clubs, the facilities, always facilities for club. The club was the unit. It's the unit of the GAA. And Jim always felt that more had been done for clubs, more organisation, more facilities. More better conditions for players. Jim always realised the threat of rugby and football, or rugby and soccer, especially the movement of soccer in the last 20 years in rural Ireland, especially, and rugby. Not that he had anything against rugby or anything like that, because he had played it at school and in college to a certain degree, but just that, and this brings on to another point, maybe the competitive level in GAA, unfortunately, at all levels from 12 upwards, even 10 or 11 upwards, that is actually destructive in the long run, because of the players of average ability end up as being subs continuously. And you will hear many, many parents and adults say, I was always a sub, and they get very disillusioned with football at an early age. And to some extent, the little I know of rugby and soccer, there's far more player participation across all grades, and there's less of a competitive element at the lower grades. I mean, obviously there's competitiveness at the higher grades in any sport, as there should be. But certainly at lower, lower underage, and I mean, let's say the second, third, and fourth strung, that there would be more participation and the enjoyment of participation, the enjoyment of the camaraderie during matches and after matches. And Jim always felt that was a good thing we could take from other codes into GAA and foster it.
How important, Conor, is today? We're here in the Skellig now, and there has been a huge galaxy of stars come together to honour your father. How important is a day like this to him, do you think?
Oh, well, I think it came as a huge surprise to him. I think he's delighted with people. He was never one for the limelight, as was often said. But I suppose anyone would enjoy when many friends and colleagues over the years come to visit you and to have a meal with you and share some memories. So I think he really enjoyed it. I think there was a lot of laughs. There were stories from Australia and America over the years, various All-Irelands, and people describing matches and a few songs. And I think overall it was a very enjoyable afternoon, attended by everyone and well covered by the people from the media. Thank you.
Now I'm talking to Sean Murphy. Sean, beautiful tribute to Jim Brosnan here today, a legendary Kerryman.
Magnificent performance. All credit to the people who organise it. It was a lovely occasion.
What's your favourite memory of Jim Brosnan?
1955 All-Ireland. To see Jim ploughing through the opponents and scoring. That was a crucial score for Kerry. I think Kerry were not doing very well until that precise moment. Jim turned the whole thing round.
Describe Jim Brosnan as a footballer, Sean, his stature and his physique and how he...
Jim Brosnan was a powerful, muscular, physical specimen. His stature would have been a big problem to anybody else, only Jim. I remember playing against Wexford all those years ago in a National League game. and I was kicking the ball. I was right half back, Jim was right half forward, and I was kicking the ball towards Jim. I mentioned to him that I'll kick them towards you, but I was kicking them a little bit too high over his head. But one ball in particular, I say, was about 2 feet or maybe more over his head, and Jim collected it, turned around, scored a point, but came right back to me and let me have it because I wasn't placing them just like he wanted.
Finally, Sean, how important is it to remember and honour so-called old Kerry footballers?
I would think it's... The significance of this is that these people, they age, and as they age, we're living in an age in which age doesn't have the significance it had years ago. And I think the occasion like this do put a stamp on something which is traditional and historical, and without these occasions would be lost forever.
Sean Murphy, always great to talk to you.
Pleasure, Weishi. It's lovely to see you.
Well, now I'm talking to Donny Sullivan, one of the men behind the organisation of this tribute to Jim Braston. Donny, wonderful evening here in the Skellig in Dingle.
Well, it was very enjoyable and, I suppose, dignified to the point. And it's great that we're around, yourself included, that we could honour Jim in this way for all he's done as a player, as administrator and as a person.
How important was he in the overall picture of Kerry football, Jim?
I don't think there was nobody more important, I would put it that way, for his vision, his commitment, his generosity, his work rate. He was such an upright, humble, honourable man, and direct, and to the point. And I think we've all experienced, even in that journey around the world in Australia 40 years ago this month, the type of leadership he showed, and, you know, the courage and generosity of the man.
Your club, Spar, in the All-Ireland final next Sunday, it will be over by the time this programme goes out, but it was Jim Braston that set up the structure for the county leagues in Kerry, and that brought all these Kerry clubs to Croke Park.
Yeah, Jim, you see, Jim, I think, listen to people who played, who were in college with him in Dublin and Cork, say Frank O'Leary, Seamus Connerty, Bobby Buckley, they will tell you their respect for Jim as a player, but as an organiser at that age as well. So I think Dr. Jim always had a vision, and when he became chairman, he put this vision into practice of getting more and more players on the field, getting the leagues going, getting not one team from a club but two if possible, developing clubhouses and on from there. And you know, I think he began it, followed it through, and it continued from there. And for a club like Spaw and many more, you know, to get that opportunity after so many years in the wilderness, it's great for not only the players, but the whole community.
Finally, Donny, why did you and the people with you behind this come together and decide to honour Jim Braston? Why did you do it?
I think leaving his ability as a footballer, as an administrator and everything else, as a person, first of all, as a farouche, a gentleman, honourable, everything else. And I think it showed anybody, if you contact anybody of that group, they were so enthusiastic, it had to be done, just get it done and we'll have to be there. And that was it. And I think it's a good example, say, today of Pat Griffin, who came for a short while because he's a lot of commitments and so forth at the moment, came all the way from Clonakilty. Just, he said, he couldn't, he'd have to be there to honour Jim and say hello to him.
Would I be right in saying only for Jim Braston, Kerry wouldn't have toured the world in 1970?
Oh, you can be sure of that, because I think he took more or less the whole thing on his shoulders.
Johnny, always nice to talk to you.
Good morning, good wish you. Thank you.
Now, so one of the men who started in that 1969 team was Liam Higgins, the late Liam Higgins, my great friend. He travelled to Australia in 1970. He was on his honeymoon that particular time. But his mother, Nell, is here today. Nell, is it a kind of a poignant get-together honouring Jim Braston and thinking about Liam?
It is. It was lovely altogether. I liked it and it was very nice.
How important is it for you now to have Liam remembered that there's no occasion like this, Nell?
It was very nice to get him remembered like this. Very nice altogether.
Yeah. And of course, Liam was a star of that 1969 team that won the All-Ireland.
He was.
He often spoke about those All-Irelands, and you remember them well, don't you?
I do, indeed. I do remember him. And I remember him, and I cry yet after.
Yeah, and of course, Jim Brassen, you'd know Jim all your life.
Oh, I know Jim ever since he came to Dingle.
Yeah. What has he meant to Dingle, Neil?
Well, he meant a lot to Dingle, you know. He was the doctor there, and he was very popular and everything. He was very good, very good.
Yeah.
And lovely when he was young.
Yeah. You're after meeting a lot of people here today. Have you enjoyed the afternoon?
I have enjoyed it very much. It was very good.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in great form. What, do you mind me asking you? I should never ask a lady her age. What age are you?
I'll be soon 92.
Yeah, and you travel to all the All-Irelands all the time?
I do, but I'm supposed to be the last. That's the last one I was at.
Listen to me, I doubt it very much, Neil. Always nice to talk to you. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, is this going to be in the air now?
It is, yeah. Now I'm talking to Sean O'Neill of Down, who's travelled the whole way to honour Jim Brassen. Sean, you must think an awful lot of Jim Brassen to say you travelled down from Down specifically.
Well, I, with many others, think the world of Jim Brassen. He represents, for us in County Down, he represents all that's great about the kingdom. He has always shown great honesty, great integrity in his play. He has been a leader on the field and off it, which he, as you know. And maybe some of his greatest contributions has been as chairman of the county board and his reorganisation of the league football in Kerry, which probably is a leading example for all the other counties in Ireland, where in spite of the fact that Jim played football at the highest level and excelled at the highest level, he still had a great understanding of the need for club players to have regular football. And I think that has been achieved in Kerry due to the intelligent introduction of the divisional system. That means that a young player playing, in a fourth division club can reach to a higher level inside the county and get plenty of football. That's very, very important. There are a lot of counties, I think, where they're not giving young people the weekly game that they should get. And it's damaging. It's very damaging because we need to give young people the opportunity to play every week. I chaired a youth congress in Gormaz, the first youth congress, year youth congress in Gormaz, in 1971. And emerging from a three-day seminar, the top requirement of the youth at that time was, give us a weekly game. Now, we're still not doing that. Dr. Jim Brosnan has worked very hard towards that kind of standard. And it's very important. It's more important today now because there's many competing things, which, as you know, many competing sports. We have to work towards that, and I'd compliment Jim on the work that he's done in that area. But it's as a sportsman that I mainly knew him as a competitor, and I admired him greatly. I watched him play, and he was a highly competitive, physical player. He played it fair. He played it hard. And he was greatly admired in my county, I can tell you.
And of course, Sean, it's great to be here today to honour him, because he should be considered a jewel in the Kerry crown, because his father, of course, was the legendary Con Brosnan, who not alone won 5 All-Ireland senior medals with Kerry at midfield, but also trained Kerry to win 3 All-Irelands. So if you look at it, I mean, the man has everything.
He certainly has the credentials. There's no question at all about that. And
how important is all that?
It's critically important. It's very important. And I mean, I don't think anyone needs me to say that to them. The Brosnan contribution to the Kerry football is legendary. Could I say, which is that it's a great honour and privilege to be here. When Donny O'Sullivan rang me, he as a gentleman, he didn't put any pressure to say, will you come down? He said, would you maybe drop a note? But when I heard who it was, I said, Donny, would it be all right if we came down? He said, yes, it would. And I said, there's someone else I know who might like to come, and that's Dr. Morris Hayes. I rang Morris, and when I mentioned Morris, he said, we'll go immediately. There was never any hesitation at all about it.
And so you were enjoying the afternoon?
Absolutely. And could I say, we represent not just ourselves, we represent our county. I've said it here today, I represent also Queen's University Belfast, because Jim was a great competitor in Sigerson football with UCC and UCD, and all of those elements and the areas that he touched, county football, interprovincial football, university football. From my point of view, I was aware of his good contribution, all of those. And he's a greatly, greatly admired man.
Sean, listen to me. On behalf of everyone in Kerry, I want to thank you for travelling down to pay this tribute to Jim Brosnan, because it means a lot to have you and Maurice Hayes, both from down here. He really added greatly to the occasion.
Well,
thank you,
Sean. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Derry Crowley, Glenn Flesk, was on that team that travelled the world in 1970. Derry, would that trip have come off only for Dr. Jim Brosnan?
Well, I wouldn't think so, because, first of all, the cost was incredible. I think the tickets per head at that time were something like £570 at that time. I think I was earning at Libras at that time £12 a week. So if you put that in context of flights today and what you earn per week, you'd be working half your life to do something like that.
And around that time, Derry, you were on the East Kerry team. Of course, there was winning county championships, and Jim Brosnan was the chairman of the county board. He put a tremendous amount into Kerry football, didn't he?
Ah, yes, Jim was a great visionary, like, as many people have said. The county leagues, which still survive today and are copied by other counties nowadays, was the best thing that ever happened to Kerry football. Secondly, I remember him for being a marvellous fair man, because when I started playing first in 63-4, Jim was over the minor team that time, like, and I thought that, he was very balanced in his approach to everything. He spoke to everyone. I was from the East, Jim was from the West, and, a young fella starting out, like, but he treated us all equally. And the second thing is, he was the first fella that gave us top-class grub in the Imperial Hotel in Tralee, and I was well able to eat at that time. Like, I was often working at Leapers during the days. We started 7:30 that time and finished at around 5:15, and we come straight to Tralee. But we got the best of the grub from Jim, and I remember that distinctly for him.
And Derry, how important, we're here in the Skellig today, out today, and how important is it to remember Jim Brosnan?
Well, it's very important to remember a man of that calibre, because he was a real visionary. Like, football was, you could say, a little bit static at that time. I'm particularly talking about in the context of dressing rooms and shows and things like that. He got both of them going in. Both in Tralee and Killarney, like, there weren't in any club ground or anything, like, but they weren't even on the main grounds at that time, like, but he instigated all that, and, he was influencing the Billy of the Pip Vision and Tralee and all that thing, like, that was a man 20 years before his time, really, like.
Yeah. Derry, thanks for talking.
Yeah, thank you, Wishy.
Well, Jim, how are you enjoying your afternoon here in the Skellig?
Very much so. Very much so. I think it's been an outstanding gathering together of the players, ex-players, and all that goes with it.
And when you see men travelling from Down and from Cavan and from Cork and from all over the place to pay your tribute, what does it mean to you?
Well, because the players have to be, the players are looked after. Once they're looked after, everything else follows.
Yeah. Your memory, Jim, of 1969 and 70, Kerry won the All-Ireland 69 and you organised a trip around the world in 1970. What are your favourite memories of that era?
Well, obviously the trip to Australia must be in anyone's must be in anybody's mentioning of games once they're a bit stuck for words.
And of course, Jim, we travelled right across Australia and right across New Zealand and back to America, and great names, great memories.
Yeah. I mean, that was the first time that
trip went
around the world.
It was, yeah.
And
of course, Kerry played Australia under lights, didn't they, in Melbourne, Jim? And they played with the oval football, and they played with the round football, yeah, and Kerry won the game.
They did. Well, I think we caught them by surprise in one of the games. And Tony, was it Tony that kicked the long kicks?
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
So you'd have to, there were games that didn't matter tuppence, whether we won or lost, in one sense, but it was quite important that we would, you know, we would show them that we weren't amateurs at the game.
Most people would say, Jim, that when you were chairman of the Kerry County Board, you organised the county leagues. They're still there today at Kerry. Teams are going to Croke Park to contest All Islands. Those county leagues, were they the highlight of your chairmanship?
Yeah, I suppose they were. Because once you got those going, and I said to somebody, they would show you how important that the people took the games at the time. Going into Mass on a Saturday night, there were two farmers, and what were they discussing? But the league match that was played that night,
yes.
In Dingle, and to think that wouldn't have happened 10 years before. Yeah. I think that's taken for granted now, isn't it?
So come here, Jim, it was a fabulous afternoon, and well done, and congratulations to you and what you have done for Kerry, and on behalf of all Kerry people, on Kerry and all over the world, I want to thank you, Jim Braston, for all that you did for Kerry football, and your family, which you and your father and your brothers and everything.
Very good.
Maurice Hayes from County Down. First of all, you're very welcome to Kerry, and you're very welcome to this tribute to Jim Braston. You've travelled a long ways. What was so important that brought you down to Kerry in relation to Jim Braston?
Well, it was a privilege to be here, and I was very pleased to be asked and to be able to come, myself and Sean O'Neill, and just pay tribute to a great man.
You great say man. A great man. Why was he a great man?
He was great in every way, you know. I mean, he was a giant on the field. I remember him actually giving the best one-man display I ever saw on a field, you know. It was a Sigerson in the old Corrigan Park in Belfast, you know, and he's in the centre half forward in the first half, and a middling Cork team against a very good Dublin team. He scores three goals, goes back centre half back, takes balls out of the clouds. But he, you know, he epitomised the best of Kerry football. You know, the competitiveness, the skill, the directness, and the honesty, and the respect for opponents when it was all over. You know, and I think it was tragedy he didn't become president of the GAA, actually. You know, because he was a player's man. And he was close to the players. He wasn't. That's probably why he wasn't. He wasn't a bureaucrat or a politician in that way. But and then there's one very personal thing. Actually, I remember about 30 years ago, when the children were small, we were out on holidays in Dunanoir, and one of the wee girls got in. You know the way you're miles away from anywhere, and your wife's worried and so on. And Jim comes out in the middle of the night and looks after her. You know, and that exemplified what he was in his practice life and his medical life too. He was just a big human being.
And Maurice, the importance of honouring a man like this before he passes on,
aye,
could be anybody's case. How important is that in the GAA? And he comes from a family, of course. His father was the legendary Conross, and as you know from your interest in Kerry.
Indeed. Well, I think it's hugely so. I was just saying to somebody there, I was at Mick Higgins' funeral last week. Couldn't shake his hand. Couldn't go up and say, well done, Mick. You're great, you know. And isn't it better doing it when he's alive, when he can see what people feel for him and how much people think of him and what have you?
Maurice, on that same line, though, is it something now that Croke Park should think about you couldn't shake Mick Higgins' hand, we're shaking Jim Braston's hand, there must be a lot more people like that should be honoured in that respect. Maybe Croke Park should be looking at that side of things.
I don't know. I'd hate to see it bureaucratised. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, the great thing about this was the spontaneity.
Yeah.
It was his own people, his own fellows and that coming together, and people in other counties and that who knew him and respected him coming there with no obligation to anybody, and there was nobody trying to make a name for themselves and nobody trying to make an occasion out of it. And it was that lovely intimacy of the whole thing and the domesticity. And I think if you had somebody running down through a list of things and saying, oh, geez, there's so-and-so, like, you know, you're not looking too good, and that. No, I think there comes a time, you know, and good players and great players respect each other and know each other.
I was interviewing your county man, Sean O'Neill, a while ago, and I was saying to him, and I was thanking him, and I thank you for coming down and continuing on the tradition of Kerry football and helping us to maintain the tradition and win more All-Ireland.
That's
because
right.
this is what Kerry's all about, isn't it, Morris?
It is, and it's all change and renewal and what have you. There's a thing I had for you, and I was sorry I didn't bring it, but I was looking at something that was done. Actually, it was by Paddy Keelty's father, comedian Jack Keelty, who was murdered up there. And Jack made a video of the 1960 Down team, and one of them was of Jarlath Carey talking about what it was like to play against Mick O'Connell.
Yeah.
And the only thing he said was, it was an honour to be on the field with him.
And the same would apply to Jim Brosnan.
You see, the same would apply to Jim Brosnan. You know, I mean, they lifted other people around them as well, you know.
So you enjoyed your afternoon, Morris?
I did very much. It was lovely, actually. Yeah, you know, lovely. It was lovely. The amount of reminiscence, the amount of old friends. I mean, a long chat with Tom Long, I hadn't seen for a long time, or Johnny Colliday for a long time you know. And it was great. It was great, and it was great to be welcomed.
Yeah. Morris is always nice, young Kerry, because you have great connections on. And Timmy, thanks for talking to me.
Not at all. Thank you, Uishi. Good luck now.
Johnny, of course, you'd have played with Jim Brosnan as far as back as 1955. You'd know more about him than most footballers.
Well, my first time coming across him, as you say, Uishi, was 55. We got into the final against Dublin. He came home from America, I think it was a Wednesday before the game. Which would be unheard of in this present day now. Like, you know, if you said to somebody now that a fella could come back from America in the middle of the week before an All-Ireland final and get his place, and during the game he gave a great account of himself, played great football, you'd say it would be nearly impossible at the present time. But that was the kind Jim Brosnan was. He was a fella, I'd say, he'd fierce heart, Rishi. If you only knew the way he played, like, you know what I mean, he'd go through that wall there for you. He'd fierce determination. Whatever he set his mind to, like, you know, he could do it, like, you know, and he proved that in latter years. Then he was unfortunate, I suppose, in 1959. Then he played a great game in the 55 final. Was a driving force behind that team, like, you know, and they were definitely it was the right decision to play him that day. But then he went on to 59 as well. Then, like, you know, and he was misfortunate. He got injured in the semi final against Dublin. But he got an All-Ireland, and then he moved on after that, like, I suppose, in the early 60s, like, when he took over the Kerry County Board chairmanship, and himself and Ty Crowley then together there for years, like, they ran the county board as efficiently as you'd ever see any county board.
And of course, Johnny, he trained the Kerry minors to win an All-Ireland, and he also trained the Kerry seniors. They did win All-Irelands, but he put an awful lot of his life, and you would really, and of course he's come from a great tradition with his father, Con Brosnan.
Oh, sure he did, of course. Sure. I mean, Con Brosnan, you saw that book by Jojo Barrett there, he wrote back about the time of after the Civil War and that, like, you know, and he'd be one of the motivators, like, you know, behind the settling of all their differences, like, after that, like, you know, and the Kerry team got together, and from there they moved on, like, and of course, as you said, in Mick Brosnan, Jim's brother, of course, was a great footballer as well. He had a bit of problem with his knee, I think, and I think that set his career back. But as you say there, I think, as far as I know, Jim's father can train Kerry teams as well to win All-Ireland. Back in the, I'd say, maybe the early 40s or sometime like that, I'm not exactly sure. But Jim trained the Kerry team as well, as you say, and he trained, I suppose, in the mid-60s. I don't think he won any All-Ireland as a trainer, but still, as you say, he was a great driver, a great motivator. But I'd say his legacy, definitely in the county, was the setting up of the county leagues, like, you know. And as you've seen there, how successful they are, like, you know, and every club now in the county league are getting 10 or 12 games every year, which they weren't getting in the old days. Like, you'd be lucky maybe to get, if you had a poor county championship team, you might only get one county game in the year, and maybe an East Kerry championship game or something like that. So he was the real motivator and that type of thing, anyway.
And Tom Prendergast, you were right. You were left half back in that 1969 winning team, and you travelled to Australia, and the Australian team are here today, remembering Jim Brosnan. And how important is it to remember a man when he's alive?
Well, it's very important, Uishi, to remember him when he's alive. There's much point in talking about all he did when he's passed on. I think this was a great occasion here today to have all the players, well, a lot of the players anyway, that travelled to Australia with Dr. Jim and in 1970. I mean, it was a fantastic trip. Some of us would never have seen the parts of the world that we saw, but for him, and we appreciate it, and I think that appreciation was shown here today by our presence.
And as chairman of the Kerry County Board, like Johnny mentioned here, he started the county leagues. Now you have all the Kerry clubs going into Croke Park playing in All-Ireland finals. Only for the county leagues they wouldn't be there. Only for Jim Brassen they wouldn't be there.
Oh, absolutely. I think that was, you know, that was the county league set up has been a fantastic success and has attributed to really to a lot of the success that Kerry has had in recent years. I mean, it keeps players playing all the time prior to Dr. Jim setting up the leagues, Dr. Jim and Ty Crowley and the county board at the time. There was very little football played. I can remember when I started playing football, first in the county and particularly in the mid-Kerry area. If you were knocked out of the mid-Kerry championship, you'd know more football. And with Dr. Jim coming along and the setting up of the leagues, there was football for everybody and is football for everybody all the time.
And Donny Sullivan was one of the men who spearheaded this tribute to him today, Tom. And it was a memorable occasion, really. It was one of the great occasions of Kerry football.
Indeed it was. And it was fantastic to see people like Sean O'Neill and Morris Hayes and J.J. Hinchin and Paddy Hanley, a lot of people coming down here from Cork, from all over the place. It just goes to show the high regard in which Dr. Jim was held in. And I think.
And Liam Higgins' mother, who's 92 years old, she turned up to this.
She did indeed, yes, which was fantastic. Yeah.
Tom, nice talking to you.
Thank you, Weeshie.
No. Now I'm talking to Dara Kaneda. Dara, you're around today and you're working for Radio Na Gaeltachta. You're interviewing people in relation to Jim Brosnan. Now, I won't ask you, do you remember him playing? Because you don't, but what has come true to you today now, talking to people and you're listening to the tributes?
Well, what really struck me there today, Weeshie, was, I suppose, that there's tremendous credit due to Donny O'Sullivan for coming up with the original concept of honouring Dr. Jim Brosnan. I think it's not done half often enough within GAA circles. You know, they do this 25-year celebration when you win All-Ireland, but often the real heroes, the real people, the founding fathers of, say, Kerry football, that, you know, the work that Dr. Jim did in terms of the county leagues and stuff like that often goes unheralded. And I think it was very, very important that that recognition would be given today, because I don't think people realise out there, generally speaking, the group that was in the room today have huge esteem for that man. But the esteem which Dr. Jim has held around West Kerry here, not alone as a doctor, but as a thinker and as a footballing philosopher, if you like, you know, and his ideals in football haven't been listened to half as much as they should have been, possibly. And, you know, you see, even we're talking here a week before, let's say, the likes of Spawn, Castle Gregory up in Croke Park next Sunday. I don't think, you know, if you go back far enough, maybe 40 years, that they would have been there were it not for the foundation of the county leagues and putting players on that particular stage. And what really struck me today, and it came home to roost an awful lot in the talks that were given and the tributes that were paid, was the emphasis that Dr. Jim put on the ordinary club player. And that, again, is something that we need to do an awful lot of in Kerry. You know, we're very, very proud of all our clubs that have done so well in the junior championships and in the intermediate championships up to now. But it wouldn't have happened only for Dr. Jim, and it's something that I probably didn't realise the extent and much how much his hand weighed on current-day Kerry football.
And do you think, Dara, that you said you didn't realise how much he had done, do you think there's hundreds and thousands of more people in today's era that doesn't know what you didn't know, and maybe that they should be educated more? Maybe the GAA is slipping up there a little bit, correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, the scary thing about today and it's just the amount, the wealth of experience you had in one room there today, and it came across, I suppose, it kind of manifested itself in the eloquence, that the speeches you had from Micheál O'Shea and Mick O'Connell. I mean, these are the greats. And, you know, the fact that Morris Hayes and Sean O'Neill saw fit to travel down, these are some of the great thinkers of the GAA whose opinions maybe were listened to once, but I don't know if they're now. And, you know, I suppose all ancient cultures had a tradition of listening to their elders. These are the guys that have fascinating insights in Gaelic football and the way it should be played. They realise as well, and they're very progressive. A lot of them, I've even speaking to them there, they were talking about, you know, life moves on, football moves on, different styles move on, but the player is still the central aspect of the GAA. And all these people realise that. And sometimes we tend to forget that. You know, Micheál O'Shea mentioned it today when he was speaking on Scaelgan's side there. He said, you know, had Dr. Jim, you know, in a hypothetical situation been Uachtaráin Cumann Lough Las Gael, maybe it would have been less of a business and more of an ideological, cultural institution. And that was important to say that, I think, today.
I found out in the few people that I was interviewing for this programme, a number of them said that he should have been the first Kerry GAA president. Not that that's anything against Sean Kelly or anything, but a number of people said that to me. Yeah. So that's the esteem the man has held him.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be his nature to think like that, and he certainly wouldn't have any regrets. I've known Jim for years. He's our family doctor, and his son Connor is our current family doctor, and they're fantastic people. And, you know, I suppose You were talking hypothetically, had he been gone up to Croke Park and been Uachtaráin coming low class girl, it would have been a huge, huge thing, and it would have been a fitting tribute for a lifetime service to the GAA.
And Dara, as you, as a former great Kerry footballer, an All Ireland winning captain, and a medium, I know you are conscious of the fact, of course, that he came from a great family, and that his father and that his brother, and this is a huge handing down of tradition. And what was inside in that room today was staggering.
It's kind of humbling, you know, to even be in the room. You know, you realise how, I won't say insignificant you are in the whole bigger picture, but it's humbling, and it's a privilege to be even part of that jigsaw of putting on a Kerry jersey. And I think, you know, another thing that struck me is the way the two lads from Down spoke, Maurice Hayes and Sean O'Neill, about the respect they have for Kerry football and how they taught maybe Kerry football a few lessons back in the 60s, the Down football teams did at the time. But, you know, there's this thing at the moment that, you know, Kerry people have a problem with Northern football. That's certainly not the case, no, as far as I can see. And all I've ever heard any time I've been in places like this is the huge respect that's between the Northern counties and Kerry. And I think that will continue, and we should have more of these kind of occasions today like we had today. And I think that would consolidate that relationship.
And finally, Dara, if you, as a young Kerry footballer of a modern age, how would you sum up Dr. Jim Brassen after listening to what was said and after doing all your interviews with people and knowing him personally? Sum him up for us.
I think Micheál O'Shea probably summed him up best. He said, Íseal Uasail, a man who had nobility and was humble at the same time, a man who's held in high esteem amongst the West, public of West Kerry and beyond, and a man with fascinating insights on Gaelic football, and a man of vision that should be probably listened to more.
Dara, always nice to talk to you.
Likewise, wish you.
Now I'm talking to Dinjo Crowley, who was on that trip around the world in 1970. Dinjo, Jim Brassen, what are your memories of him? What has he meant to Kerry?
Well, it was touched there earlier this evening. I think Jim Brassen was a player's man. I remember when I joined the Kerry team first, I think it was 68, and I was travelling from Kinsale with Pat Griffin, and there was another gang, Mick Morris, Pat Moynihan, Mick Fleming, Brendan Lynch, travelling from Cork, and we were getting sandwiches after our training session. I had to go back to work to Kinsale, and I had to work from maybe 12 o'clock till 3, 4 in the morning, and then start at maybe 1 the next day and so on. That's the way my shifts worked, so that I could go training, because we were training 7 days a week then. And Mick Morris and I and Griffin went to Jim and said, look, we need a bit more than sandwiches. And he said, win the next league, he said, and he'll have all the sandwiches, or he'll have all the steak you want. And from about 2 weeks after that, he probably had it put it through the county board, we had a steak, chips, milk, onions. We had absolute fabulous food, and I'd say up to this day, Kerry players have been treated like that. And Kerry won the next four leagues, which pays the bills for Kerry the leagues. And that's my first memory of him, is that he looked after the player. Now I got to know him personally then, probably after that, and particularly through on the trip, and, you know, found out the kind of man he was, and how the vision he had. And that, being alluded to today, was the leagues that's happening in Kerry in his time. And he was also telling us there at our 25th, after we won the All-Ireland in Killarney, how that in Dingle you have a school of 600 students. And you have a similar number above in Roscrea and Belvedere and so on. All the player, all the students that play sport in the rugby college, he was only just showing what's different. He said every one of them are playing a match on Saturday and Sunday, come hell or high water. He said the guys below in Dingle, he said, from a school's point of view, college point of view, they play no match till after Christmas. And he said, you know, that kind of structure has to change. And they're the memories I have of him, particularly of a man with huge vision, probably should have been the president of the GAA and so on. And
JJ, would it have been too much to say that only for he setting up the county leagues and the structure we have today, that Kerry wouldn't be as successful as they are now? Is that gone a little bit too far, would you think?
No, definitely not. Because you look at last year, two clubs coming through that type of system were in Croke Park, and they won the two All-Irelands.
And this year,
the same thing is happening. And that's that kind of legacy coming through. And it's fantastic for the local rural areas. Like I spent a lot of time down in Ballinskellig, and that team won the All Ireland, and over across in across the Glen, shall we say, in Port McGee, they won the All Ireland. And the difference it makes there to the young lads, like, you know, rural Ireland has been, you know, decimated with jobs and so on, like, you know.
And it goes back to Jim
Brosnan. A lot of it goes back to Jim Brosnan. And, of course, you have great men in different clubs, chairmen of different clubs, like in South Kerry, East Kerry, North Kerry, all them. And they're great.
Enjoy a remarkable get coming together here in the Skellig today in Dingle to pay honour and tribute to the men. I mean, you were inside there, you were a legendary Kerry footballer yourself, but they came from Cork and Down, they came from all over. Really, it was a fabulous occasion.
It was a beautiful occasion, beautiful. And the words spoken to by Micheál O'Shea and Donny Sullivan, Johnny Colletti, and all those, you could see the love that was there for Jim Brosnan, because he was a player's man, as I said, you know, and you can't see any more than that. You know, players generally down here in various counties didn't necessarily get what they should have got. In his time, he built the first pavilion in Kerry, where we eat all our steaks afterwards. There was first club in Kerry, in Ireland, I think, that had a bar, and it didn't put fellas off to drink or anything like that, but he kept the players together after training. They didn't go in, spread off into hotels and so on. So in his time, and it was alluded, I think, by Mick O'Connell earlier, the facilities for players, that kind of thinking came true from Jim Brosnan, went to his Donegal County Board level, Ramor did it. And look at every club around the county. Yeah. The Crokes probably have one of the best. They have how many pitches in there? Yes, they have dressing rooms, and they have a centre, what you'd call it?
A huge complex.
A huge complex, yeah. Which is for players, family, you name it, like, you know. And that's all a legacy of Jim Brosnan. So yeah. You can't say any more than that.
Anyway, Joe, always great to talk to you, and nice for being here, and it was a memorable evening, wasn't it?
It certainly was, and it was lovely talking to you.